Welcome back to episode 3 of the Odo Vets podcast. Today we'll be talking to Claire from the Instagram account Meet the Fosters, and she'll be telling us why she thinks it's a good idea to maybe foster your next dog or cat. We hope you enjoy it.
So I thought we'd have a chat with you today because obviously you foster, which is an amazing thing. And I think a lot of people don't really consider fostering. You know, they're like, I want a dog. Is it the right time? Should I get a dog? And I think it'd be nice if more people perhaps thought about fostering, considered it. So thought, who could we talk to? And as a bit of a pro, you seem to be very busy with it. We thought we'd get you on, just to ask a few questions.
Okay. Thank you. I'm very excited to talk about it.
Excellent. So if we start from the beginning, so I found you via your Instagram page, Meet the Fosters.
Yes.
When did you start that? How long have you had the account? Because I think it must have been maybe 18 months ago maybe that I started.
I started the account at the end of 2020, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. I just started it so I could like document for my own, you know, so I could see which dogs I had and as like a diary kind of thing. I didn't expect to actually so many dogs from it.
Yeah, it's great. No, it's really good that people can see the dogs that you currently have and when they go home. It's fantastic. And then the name, where did Meet the Fosters name just came up as an idea?
Well, we were joking because there's a movie called Meet the Fockers.
Yes.
You know that movie?
Yes.
Yeah, so we're like, oh, let's just do Meet the Fosters.
Yeah, no, it's really good.
It was a joke.
And a good one.
Just out of interest, how many dogs have you fostered? Any idea?
Oh, my word. I think about 40 now.
Wow.
Sure. Yeah.
That's a number.
And they're all gone home. Or, yeah.
Right. And so how did you start with fostering in the first place? Were you working with dogs and then started that way, or did you just get an idea?
We've been working with dogs a lot longer than we've been fostering, because we used to go, and my partner and I, we used to go and volunteer at shelters. So we worked at shelters all the time, and then COVID hit and they said no more volunteers allowed. And then we were like, oh my word. So we don't get to, And then from that, we saw how many dogs were actually coming in from COVID, like the influx into the shelters. It was insane. So we still wanted to help. And we were like, if we can't come to you, then the rescues can come to us. So that's how we started. Yeah.
Brilliant. Really good.
And do you work with just one charity?
At the moment, we do. We've worked with a few. We had fosters from multiple different charities all at once in our house, actually, and it got a lot. So we found one that we love working with now, the Sushin Panda Foundation. So we want to just do as much as we can for them, so we're focusing on them at the moment.
They're busy enough, they keep you busy. Your house seems to be always full.
Always.
So tell us about your own pets. So who you've got at the moment, are they the ones that are staying, the ones that are the permanent kind of additions to the home? Who are they?
Well, I have three dogs. So I have Nadja. He's a male. He's 10 years old. So he's the grumpy one. He doesn't really like to have anything to do with the fosters. He likes to, he's an old man. So he keeps them away from him. But, and then we have Onyx, who's also a rescue dog. She's 4. She's my problem child. She always has health issues and everything.
Oh.
But she's very dog friendly, so she's very good with the fosters. She sets her boundaries and she teaches them, like, not all big dogs are scary dogs as well, so it's good.
Yeah.
And then Aria, who's my foster friend. I think you've actually met her.
Yes,
when I dropped the party.
Yes, I didn't tell you. My kids fell in love with her. They were like, oh, we want that one.
She was a little street dog, so she has all the problems that street dogs come with, resource guarding and everything. But she's so reactive outside of our home with dogs and things. But inside the home, she's so accepting. She's the best foster. She's the foster mom, basically. She lets the puppies suckle her. She's just amazing with them. So Our little foster failed.
Oh, I love it. That's one thing I wanted to ask you actually about, I'll get it in now, street dogs. So I know definitely here in South Africa, there's a lot of street dogs that kind of end up in foster homes and then or into rescue and then going to normal homes. And for some, that's a huge adjustment. They're not used to kind of that closeness to humans and being in that environment is totally alien to them. So kind of how difficult is it, have you found, to get them comfortable in a home environment?
Yeah, when they're puppies, it's much easier. They adjust a lot faster. But with adults, especially even if they come from the shelters or the townships, they have no idea what a home is. They don't understand boundaries. They're on the table. They pee on everything. But they learn. I think dogs are amazing because they just adjust so quickly. Yes, like if you teach them, no, don't do that, do this instead, then they learn so quickly. And they love humans generally. So, it's not that hard. It's a bit longer than normal dogs, though. And I think street dogs specifically, they'll always come with, whenever they eat, they think, oh my gosh, this is the last food I'm ever going to eat. Mm-hmm. So they get really protective of their food and their toys because they have trust issues a bit more. But I think that's just something that you have to go in knowing if you get a street dog or foster a street dog.
Definitely. So that's maybe a con. So let's talk about the pros and cons of fostering, perhaps. So obviously the cons can be sometimes they come with issues, but obviously any dog, you could go get a perfectly bred pedigree dog from a breeder and then they'll still come with their resource guarding issues and their dog issues and everything else. So tell us about, maybe start with the pros. Why you do it? What's kind of the good side for you?
Oh my word, there are so many pros. So from like a logistics perspective, obviously from the rescue perspective, it's so much better to have dogs in foster homes because we can socialize them, look after them, train them a little bit, and we can also get to know them so we know which home they go into. So it's much easier to adopt a dog out when you know what kind of fit they need and you can take photos of them every day and show people. And obviously also it makes space in the shelters, so it increases the capacity for the rescues. But from a selfish perspective, it's like you get to play with puppies every day and you don't have to have it. You get cuddles endlessly and you don't have to have the commitment of vet bills or like what happens when the dog gets older. So it feels like quite a selfish thing to do, actually.
Definitely not. Because that puppy stage is the most hectic stage. You kind of get that bit where it's like they don't have any boundaries and they don't really know what they're doing. You do all the kind of tough work, and then the point you rehome them is the point where life gets a little bit easier for you.
But it's endless entertainment. Like, we don't even need a TV. Puppies are so fun.
Sounds perfect.
And it's also very fulfilling when you get a dog in and it's broken or it has issues and health issues or behavioral issues. And then when it's homed, you can see the change in that dog. It's very fulfilling from a personal point of view.
Definitely. That's awesome. And the cons, what's kind of not so good? The hard parts?
I think the main thing is like the time, because when you get a foster in, you have to, like, you can't just go out whenever you want to. You have to think about the foster and what's going to happen with it. Is it going to be fine on its own with your dogs? And obviously it takes a lot of time with the puppies to train them and all of that. So the main con is just, do you have the time to do it and the energy? And then obviously the con that everybody thinks of is how hard it is to give them away when you've spent months working with them. But we like to think of it as we're babysitting someone else's dog. So we're not really fostering. We're just like a doggy daycare.
24/7.
We don't know whose dog we're fostering. We don't know whose dog we're babysitting, but it's not ours. So it makes it a lot easier.
Oh, no, that's great. Yeah, you do an amazing job. Absolutely.
Incredible. Yeah. So, Claire, what advice would you give to someone that's maybe considering taking on fostering?
Oh, my word. There's so I would say, well, first of all, you should make sure everyone in the household is happy with it. So because if you're doing it just by yourself, it's like a lot harder, you know. But if everyone in the home wants to get involved and everyone does a little bit, then it's a lot easier. And also, you know, you're not springing any surprises on anyone. No one has any anger that you just brought a dog home.
Yeah.
And then also finding the right foster for you, because, well, we generally like to foster like medium to large dogs because our dogs are a bit boisterous and we don't want anyone to get damaged. So like if you have a small garden, get a smaller dog. If you don't want to deal with chewing, don't get a power breed that's going to chew everything. If you don't want to deal with dogs at all, we also do cat fostering. So
yeah,
you can foster a kitten because they're easier. Just have them in a little, yeah. So I think if you find the right foster for you, it's also like a much more enjoyable experience without some of the stress. And then also educating yourself on basic things. When we started fostering, I don't think, like, we went in wanting to help the dogs, but we didn't really know exactly the best ways to train dogs or basic health things. And then we spent a lot of time stressing when the dog sneezes or the dog has worms and we're stressing about it. So if you just do research and find out a little bit about how to deal with things and have basic knowledge, it helps a lot as well.
Yeah. And then, so that's the advice kind of equipment wise, like what do you feel you need? Because I know each rescue probably would vary and what kind of support they would give you with things that they would give you, but what would you recommend? Because I'm sure some of your fosters happen quite quickly in like some maybe emergency situations and things. So what would you kind of say you would recommend to have on hand ready just in case?
Okay, well, yeah, the rescues sometimes provide you with things, but I would say if you're getting a puppies, like, you should definitely have a crate or a playpen, because obviously it helps so much with house training. It helps if you just want to separate them from your dogs for a little bit, give them some space. So definitely like a crate or playpen, you get them at Westpac. And then basic dog supplies, beds, toys, bowls, leads. And like a first aid kit is always good as well. Because especially if you're getting rescues from the townships, they'll usually come with like worms and maybe their tummy's a bit runny. So it's always good to have probiotics and all of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant. No, that's good. So, do you find, the rescues, some rescues provide more than perhaps others. So do you find some rescues are better at maybe communicating than others? Would you say maybe to a foster person could, basically communicate your needs to the rescue, because maybe you could go a little bit under the radar and be struggling without them realising?
Yeah, definitely. When we started, it was actually a big surprise because I thought we were going to get maybe like a little handbook on what to do, or they just, when you express your interest and you've been approved to foster, they'll just add you to a group and then you'll just get an influx of like, can you take this dog? And you're like, oh my word, I don't know what I'm doing. But so I would say, you need to let the rescue know where you're at, because it's kind of assumed that you've either done it before or like you know what you're doing going into it. So if you have questions, just ask them, because they will be willing to help you. They will assume that you know things, mostly because it's easier, you know. They're busy rescuing dogs. They don't really have time to, or talk to other fosters as well, because you're usually on a group with other fosters, so you can talk to them and ask them questions and ask what you need. And, usually it's quite a good support group if you... If you communicate,
get the right foster,
and is the current charity that you're fostering for, are they currently looking for new foster parents?
The Sushi and Panda Foundation, yes. I think everyone that offers fostering is looking for fosters always, because the more fosters we have, the more we can save dogs. You know, we can only rescue as many as the capacity of the charity. So I think everyone's looking for fosters, even if it's not for dogs, like for puppies or for kittens or for even adult cats. There's always something that you can look after. So
And they are they so they do foundation that you're working for now Sushi and Panda, they do, isn't just fostering and rehoming, they kind of work in the townships, is that correct?
Yes, actually their main focus is outreach. So they work with two main townships, one in Cape Town and one in Johannesburg. And their main focus is actually going out, educating, giving vet treatments to dogs in the townships. They actually have a free vet clinic in Cape Town where if people sterilize their dogs, they can bring their dogs for free vet care. So it's quite amazing. Yeah. Their main focus is they go in and they'll install running wires so the dogs don't have to be on chains, and they'll talk to the people there, because I think a lot of people assume if people don't have money, they're not good dog owners. But a lot of people in the township love their dogs. They're just not educated on how to look after them properly. Mm-hmm. So their main focus is teaching people how to care for their dogs and giving them the deworming, the sterilization, all of that they do. And then when they find unwanted litters or people surrender their dogs, that's when they rehome. But yeah, I think they've sterilized like over 1,800 dogs, and they've rehomed almost 200 now. So it's mainly sterilization that is the focus. And then fostering is just, it's busy, but it's not the main focus.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. They're trying to help kind of at the source and maybe the rehoming comes from. The need is there, but maybe if they can support the community better, then those dogs don't need to leave the community. So that's fantastic. Yeah. And I see their calendar in the background there that you've got.
Oh, yeah. It's there. Yes.
Featuring some of your former fosters.
Actually, in January, the Scarlett, she was actually one of my fosters. I think all of them. And Gaia, the one that's sitting next to Scarlett, was the sister of one of my fosters as well. So, you know all of them.
Yeah. And then the one that you did the op on, I think she's like June, isn't she? June, July?
July.
Yes.
July. Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. That was the foster, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, she was. She was more of a, I think if you want to foster a dog like that, who you going in, you know, she has like cancer, then you have to make sure you have time to take her to her vet appointments and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes. But I think fostering, it can be easy if you choose the dog that's, you know, you don't have to choose the dog that has cancer and take her to all her operations and deal with her recovery. You can choose an easier dog.
Yeah. So perhaps maybe if you're thinking of fostering, you kind of go to the rescue and say, look, I'm new to this. Start me off with something a little bit more straightforward.
So, definitely.
Yeah. Set yourself up for a bit of success, because it's horrible if people go into it and then they kind of give in maybe a poorly dog who may not make it, you know, or kitten even, that may not make it. And that's just an awful way to start. So maybe if someone's considering it, go for something a little bit more straightforward.
Our first foster ever was a little Pekingese that had parvo. And it was like, that was throwing us into the deep end.
Yes.
We had to get up every hour to give her liquids and everything. It was awful.
Oh, and then, did she survive?
Yeah, she's fine, actually. And then our first puppies were the Malinois. Because we were all fostering adults before that.
Oh, yeah. No way. Oh, gosh.
I was like, oh, my word. And you were crazy.
Yeah. I've got one of them, and that's enough.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. I think so.
It certainly got worse.
So, for background, for anyone who doesn't know, so I rehomed from you, Archie, who's a Malinois dashhound. And I saw on your Meet the Fosters, we've been following you for a while, you had one of them or two of them, and then you rehomed, and then you seemed to have another one, and then another one, and then another one. So it seemed to be, well, I know now after we rehomed him, that other foster families were struggling. So then you kind of stepped in and you took them on because you were able to cope.
Yes.
Well done.
Yes.
You did very well. So that is another thing as well. I think people definitely need to, if they're not coping, speak up. Go back to the rescue, and say, look, this is not what I was expecting, or this dog's behaviour is a little bit too much out of my experience. So maybe they then can find more experienced foster homes like yourself who could take them on.
Yeah. At that point, I wasn't experienced. If I could go back, I would do a lot of things that would maybe make my life easier. Like, I don't know, they were a lot, but yeah, they are. That's, it goes back to making sure you get the right foster for yourself, because it's very easy when the rescue sends photos and they're just sad puppies that need somewhere to go. It's very easy to take on more than you can handle, but we'd rather not bounce them between foster homes. So it's very important to make sure that you take on and you know that you're going to be that foster home for the animal from the start to the finish. Because like for Archie, I think he was in 3 or 4 foster homes overall, and Moose as well, his brother. And I just think they also seem to be the most naughty. So I don't know if that has something to do with it. Maybe they don't have.
Yeah. No, I think it contributed, but I think there was a lot of factors there. with the cause of who he is. But actually, do you know what? He's perfect in the home. So Dolly, my other rescue, who I think I got her around 4 months old from the SPCA, and she obviously hadn't really lived in a home environment before. And so her adjustment to living in the home was, like you say, with more street dogs. I think she was more like a yard dog, her kind of family. But yeah, definitely it took her a lot longer, whereas Archie came, and yeah, his behavior quirks definitely has, but for settling into a home, he was just like perfect. He was house trained and he could settle, whereas Dolly found it very hard to settle in that environment. So if he hadn't have kind of gone to you, if they'd gone straight from rescue to a home, I think they would have been a lot harder to place, because he's like a perfect home dog. Outside is a little bit of a challenge. But in the home, he's really a big dog.
That's good.
Yeah, so now you did amazing with him. So thank you.
But yeah, I think any dogs, if they're adults, it's usually a lot harder as well, because then they get into those genetic problems or whatever they have, and more behaviors are more drilled into them. So it's a lot harder with adults. And I think if you are fostering and you're having problems with their behavior, the first thing would be like, make sure you give it time, because I always find that after a week or two with adults, it's a lot different. They'll settle in, or if they weren't getting along with your dogs, they will start getting along with them. They just need to settle in. But if it's really been like 2 weeks and everybody's miserable and your dogs are miserable, then you should speak up, because the rescue will always want to make sure that the fosters are happy, because they don't want to lose foster families, you know. Yeah. So they will find a better foster home or someone that's better suited to the dog.
Yeah. And I think as well, you said earlier about your dogs at home, so your older one being more like the old and grumpy, but I think that kind of helps, because when I fostered before, I had human children. I used to foster quite a lot in the UK. And I had a miniature poodle. She was only 6 or 7 kilos, but she's very much very certain who she was and who she wanted to play with. She didn't like you. She didn't want to play with you. She wouldn't fight with you, but she would just give that kind of aura of, you know, leave me alone, even though she was small. And so many dogs respected her for that. It was that kind of, it doesn't, if you bring a dog into your home and they're not like best buds, that's not a bad thing. We don't want them fighting, but actually having that one dog who's a little bit more, give me time, I may come up to you later, but right now I am, this is my home, I'm going to do my thing, leave me alone. I think that puts the younger ones in good stead. So I think you've done really well, because your existing dogs are kind of the right temperament for these kind of young, full of themselves pups that come into the home.
We have a lot of different temperaments going on. So yeah, they have Aria, who they know they can bully her and they can roll all over her and she's fine. But then the older dogs, they learn to respect dogs, because we don't want them to go into a home and then just randomly attack other dogs like with play, but then they won't understand that maybe that dog doesn't want to play back, you know.
So
it is good, but it also, like, it's really nice for our dogs. They really enjoy it. At the moment we don't have any fosters, and Aria, you can see how bored she gets without our dogs. She's like, gosh, her behavioral issues increase so much. She's chewing the furniture. But when her fosters, she's like, she has like dogs that are willing to play with her when maybe our older dogs aren't. So she really enjoys it as well. And they're also more socialized then. So I can take them out more, because I know they'll be good with other dogs.
Yes. Yeah. And so I know people always know if they're getting into fostering, I assume typically puppies, they kind of go quite quickly when they reach that age. But you kind of have to go into it knowing that it could be, you could be fostering for a few months. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a few weeks.
Yeah, definitely. Actually, my longest foster ever was a puppy, because there's a brown puppy syndrome where, you know, there are so many of these township puppies around, people don't know which one to choose, or they're more likely to choose a different one. So it depends. If you foster a small breed, I would say they are likely to go much faster because people have space for them. Or if you foster an adult, it will take longer. If you foster a large breed puppy, it will take longer than a small breed puppy. So it really depends as well. Yeah. And if you foster a pure breed by some chance, then they also go so much faster than the little mixed breeds for some reason. So, but I think you have to go in without a timeline on it, because you're just looking after the dog. It could be months, it could be a week. So it's something you have to, that's one of the cons, is make time for it. You have to know you're getting this dog and you don't know when it's going to leave, but you're happy to make time for it.
Yeah. Well, amazing. Well, you are doing an amazing job. Yes.
Incredible.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We did keep up, because I love your Instagram page. Just cute pups.
Yeah, it's always different puppies.
Yeah.
I think fostering is definitely something more people should consider. It's so fulfilling. And also, like I said, it feels like, it doesn't necessarily feel like you're doing it as a charitable thing. It's like a selfish, you get to cuddle puppies and play with puppies, and it's really fun as well. It doesn't have to be just
load of benefits for you. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very happy. It's a lot of stress release. You just have puppies around you all the time. They're not always naughty, you know, they're very cuddly and loving.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Have you ever had a foster that you strongly considered taking one and keeping as your own?
Yeah, there have been, I think, excluding Aria, who we did adopt, I think maybe three others that we, but it's mostly the dogs where we feel like it's maybe going to be harder to rehome them. If we see behavioral quirks that we're like, maybe people won't like that, or then we're more like, well, they're happy here, so if we're going to have such a problem rehoming them, why don't we just keep them? But I think the end decision is always like, that's not really the point of why we're doing it.
Yes.
Because if we adopt too many dogs, we're just going to be dog owners. We're not going to be fosters anymore. And like since 2020, I told you we've fostered about 40 dogs. But if we own dogs, then we would only help 5. So the point is to keep having the capacity to foster, so we can keep helping, because if we adopt too many, then we won't have the capacity to foster. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for talking with us. So everyone, I'll put your contact details and things and where we can find you on social media. Just for a bit of cool pups, and I suppose people can get experience from your page or all the pups that you have through, your 40 dogs. Your wealth of knowledge. So thank you so much for chatting with us. And we're hoping that this will encourage more people to go out there and foster.
I really hope so.
Yeah, there is definitely a need. You do see, charities calling out for fosters, and especially that can free up kennel space for them. It would be ideal.
Yes. So anyone, even if you don't have dogs, you know, there are also dogs that don't get along with other dogs that would go in a foster home, you know, or if like people are thinking of immigrating in the next year, so they don't want to get a dog, it's always good to foster a dog then, because you don't have to keep it. I think definitely more people should consider it. It's really, it's a fulfilling thing to do, and it's really helpful.
So. Yes. Well,
thank
keep
you.
Up the good work.
Yes,
thank
you.
Incredible.
And I'm sure we will see you again somehow with animals. The community always kind of connects.
Thanks so much to Claire for joining us today. We really enjoyed the chat. If you're not already, don't forget to give her a follow over at Meet the Fosters on Instagram, and also Sushi and Panda Foundation are over there too, and on Facebook. Stay tuned, and we'll see you next week.